Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, 2, and 3. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Everybody said the doctrine.
The doctrine.
The doctrine. Do you know what the word doctrine means? The word doctrine means teaching. And it's not the teaching of men, but it is the teaching of Christ.
Yeah.
Jesus is backing up this word here tonight. Let us go on into perfection. You know what the word perfection means?
Sure.
Maturity.
Right.
Praise the Lord. We need to go on to maturity.
Right.
Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. We've looked at that. Faith towards God. We've looked at that. Of the doctrine of baptisms. We're going to be talking about that tonight, and I'll just stop right there. We talked about water baptism, and tonight I want to talk about the doctrine of the Spirit, of the baptism of the Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. We need to know this, because Paul said in the book of Galatians, he said, if any man preach any other gospel than what we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. We cannot afford to approach the Word of God so casually that, oh, this one's right, this one's right. We're not going to be pointing fingers and condemning, but we've got to have a foundation that we're standing upon. Because everything is going to be shaken, the Bible says. Anything that can be shaken will be shaken. Praise the Lord. The only thing that's going to keep us through is a foundation. That's what I would like to work on here tonight a little bit more. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for these that are here. Oh, Lord, anoint these lips of clay tonight. Help us with your word. We give you thanks. We give you praise for the word of God tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight? Thank God. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Praise the Lord. We're going to get into, you can be seated tonight, I'm sorry. We're going to get into John chapter 3, but in the discourse that Jesus had with Nicodemus, who was a religious leader of his day, in his discourse to him, he taught that all people must be born again. And we believe that tonight. You must be born again. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. And the last lesson that we talked about in water baptism is born out in the Old Testament. We're going to read Old Testament scriptures here tonight, or at least one. And this lesson tonight is going to look at the biblical teaching of being baptized with the Holy Ghost. It's very, very vital. And the teaching of baptism, or the doctrine of baptisms, is a part of the foundation of our Christian faith. It's not the end result. We're going to go on unto perfection, but we cannot go to complete maturity until we have a foundation that we're standing upon, and we understand that foundation, and we believe that foundation, and we live that foundation. And so the teaching that Jesus gave to Nicodemus about being born again is also brought out by the teachings of the apostles. We're going to look at that here. And that's why the Bible says that we, the church, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. You see, there is a foundation that we must be built upon. Praise God. And Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 and 12.
I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire.
Praise God. There's a whole Bible study right there on that. But the story here of John the Baptist saying he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost is also brought out for those of you that take notes. Mark chapter 1, verse 8, Luke chapter 3, verse 16, and John chapter 1 and verse 33. And it talks about being baptized. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Now we know, we've looked at water baptism, and baptism means to be immersed. We must be immersed in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
And we must be immersed in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. We must be baptized with the Holy Ghost. We must be filled with God's presence, God's Spirit. And we're going to look at that here tonight. Acts chapter 1 and verses 2 through 5. Read for us here tonight.
Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence.
Praise God. So we see that John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, said that we would be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And here Jesus said that we will be baptized with the Holy Ghost, that his disciples in not many days would be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now turn with me to John chapter 3, and I want to look at this just a little bit here tonight. In John chapter 3 is a story where Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And he said, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus really just cut it to the chase, and he said, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I'm sorry, I did your job for you tonight. Go ahead and read that. John chapter 3, verse 5 through 8.
You want me to restart?
Yes, sir, go ahead. Twice is better than one.
Amen.
Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Somebody said, he cannot.
He cannot.
It's a prerequisite. You must be baptized in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Go ahead and read.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit.
Praise God. That's an awesome scripture right there. You must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it will. Amen. And so, in the context of this scripture here, we are talking, or Jesus was talking, about being born of the Spirit.
Yes.
About being born again of the water and of the Spirit. And so, he used the wind as an analogy.
All right.
And we're used to that here in Kansas, aren't we?
Yeah.
I think it's an average of 6 miles per hour every day here in Kansas. And some days it's 30 miles an hour for 2 or 3 days. And we kind of get tired of it. And then it turns around and goes the opposite direction for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where's it going and where's it coming from? Yeah. But we've got a little bit of an advantage over Nicodemus in that we can pull up the radar and we can see where the jet stream is going and we understand a little bit more about the wind. But it's a very simple analogy that he used here of everyone. And in fact, if you're still there, he said, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, it does not say there that everyone that is born of the Spirit is like the wind and we go here and there, and you don't know where they're coming and where they're going.
Right.
That's not what it's saying at all.
Right.
That's not even close.
Right.
Amen. We need to be founded upon the church. Amen. We need to make a commitment to the church.
Amen.
Because the church is the body of Christ.
Amen.
I taught a Bible study just down the street here on State Street many years ago. And we started the Bible study, and it didn't work out. When we started the Bible study, we had tea on a little tray, little cups of tea and cookies, and it was all that. Well, by the time the Bible study was over, or I don't even think it was over, we didn't get any more tea or cookies. Amen. And that kind of dried up there a little bit. I saw him at Dillon's one day, and he said, Greg, does it really say in the Bible that you have to go to church? And I knew where he was coming from. He wanted the Christ of the cross and not the cross of the Christ. Amen. And I said, Brian, I said, the whole New Testament is written to the church. Yes, you must be a part of the church. And it was just silence. Amen. And honestly, it is not our choice. The Bible says God sets it in the church, members in particular.
Uh-huh.
You're here because God called you here. He didn't call you here to go somewhere else.
All right. All right.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you tonight, there's a scripture in James, and I should have got it before we started service tonight. Maybe someone could find it for me. But it says, go to you that say, tomorrow I'm going to go here and I'm going to go there and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. He said, what you ought to say is, if the Lord will, we will go here and we will do this and do that. And that may be a word for somebody here tonight. And if it is, praise God. Amen. But what it's talking about here, let's get back on track. What it's talking about here with the wind, where it blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. I was working in Colorado at one point in time, and I was sitting out on my coffee break, and there was an aspen tree growing right close to where I was sitting, and the wind came up. And it started to rustle the leaves in that tree. And honestly, I felt the Holy Ghost come upon me. And it sounded like a group of people that were clapping their hands to the Lord. And that scripture came to me that the trees would clap their hands. Amen. And the Lord showed me that He was with me and that everything was going to be all right. But I want to ask you a question tonight for you to ponder. And that is, have you ever been in a wind that was silent? I don't think anybody here tonight has ever been in a wind, or maybe even a breeze that was silent, where there was no noise, it was perfectly quiet. No, it doesn't work that way, because when the wind begins to blow, it tries to go through the things that it encounters. And when it goes through it, it will cause a vibration, and that vibration is what we call sound.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, you hear the sound of the wind,
yeah,
but you can't tell where it's coming, where the wind is coming, and whether it goes or where the wind is going. And He said, it is this way. If you get your Amplified Bible and read that part of that scripture, it will say, it is this way. With everyone, everybody said everyone.
Everyone.
It is this way with everyone that is born of the Spirit.
All right.
There's no other way to be born of the Spirit than this way.
Yeah.
And that's what He's referring to. That's what He's talking about, is being born again. And I don't want to belabor the point here tonight, but I really feel this in my spirit here tonight. Amen. There is a sound. If you look up the word sound in the Greek, it actually means voice. There is a voice of the Spirit. And it is this way with everyone, amen, that comes to God, that is born of the Spirit. And so there is a voice. and every voice is different when the wind blows around a building and it goes woo, that's one voice. And when it rustles through the trees, that's another voice. Amen. When it hits the side of your car doing 30 miles an hour, that's another voice. There is a sound, and it happens every time the wind blows. Somebody said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I know it's very, very simple, but Jesus taught in simple terms so that everybody could understand. And so if you claim to be born of the Spirit, there has to be a voice that goes along with that baptism. Amen. You'll never be baptized in the Holy Ghost and there be no voice. Amen. But we're going to talk about speaking in tongues as evidence of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah,
because that's the biblical mark. Amen. Romans 8 and verse 9. Did I give you that one? But you are not in the flesh, Romans 8 and 9, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You must be born of the Spirit in order to make it to heaven, in order to enter into the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. It's exciting when you begin to look at the Word of God. And so the birth of the New Testament church came in the book of Acts chapter 2. And I'd like for Brother Micah to read Acts 2 verse 1 through 4. And I know this is familiar to most of us here tonight, but there probably is some here tonight that it's not as familiar to you. Go ahead and read that tonight, verse 1 through 4.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Praise God. Now this is the birthday of the church. This is the very first time that the church was gathered together. And it was the birthday of the church. This experience was spoken of by the Old Testament prophet Joel in Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. Read for us tonight.
And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions.
Praise the Lord. Now we know in Scripture it says here a little and there a little. And we know that we must take the Word of God in context. And so in the book of Joel here, it says, in the last days, or it shall come to pass afterward. But it's actually talking about the last days. He said, I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. All right. Everybody got that scripture?
Amen.
All right. Go to Acts chapter 2, verse 14 through 17. And I want to make a comparison here tonight. Acts 2:14.
But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel.
Everybody said, this is that.
This is that.
All right, they're speaking in tongues, they're shouting, they're praising God. And he said, this, and then he goes back to Joel, he said, it is that.
Yeah.
And how do we know that? He quotes it. Go ahead and read some more, please.
That was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams.
Amen. Now go down to verse 33, because he preaches a little bit, and then he makes a statement here. Go ahead and read Acts 2:33.
Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear.
Everybody said, see
and hear.
and hear. What did they see? They saw them praising and worshiping God. What did they hear? They heard them speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Amen. And for anyone with an open mind, you can see this. It's very, very clear. Amen. So the New Testament church was filled with the Holy Ghost, and it set them on fire. And there was a zeal in their heart, and it drove them to share the good news, the gospel, to everyone they encountered, until they actually said, "These who have turned the world upside down are come hither." Amen. We're trying to turn our world upside down. Praise God. And get it right side up. Whatever. Praise God. And so there's a reason that it happened. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Read for us if I chose to read that one, I think. "But you shall receive power." Everybody said power. "After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." After the Holy Ghost is come upon you, there is a necessity that we be filled with the Spirit of God. We've got to walk in the Spirit. Amen. So we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. We've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost for many, many reasons. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. Amen. But after we receive the Holy Ghost, we receive power. Now, let's look at the practical application of this in the book of Acts, or the works of the Acts of the apostles. Because Jesus taught the apostles, and then the apostles wrote down what Jesus taught them. And that's why Scripture says that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And the foundation of heaven is going to have the names of the 12 apostles written in those foundations. Yes. We are founded upon the teaching of the apostles. And so you can look at it biblically, and you can look at it historically. And you can say, well, where did the doctrine of the Trinity come from? Where did it appear in history? It did not appear in the apostolic age. The apostles did not teach a Trinity. And yet there are many, many actually that teach a doctrine of the Trinity that the apostles knew nothing about. They only knew God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And that one God came and robed himself in flesh and died on the cross for our sins. Praise God. What an awesome message that we have to the world. And there are many other teachings. I'm not going to go into all of them here tonight. But Acts chapter 8 is the first historical event here. Acts chapter 8, verse 12 through 16.
"But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus."
Well, praise God. All right, here we have a situation of Samaria. Samaria is north of Jerusalem, and it was a distance here, about 35 miles or so, probably by road more than 50 miles. And so in that particular time frame, how long would it take to travel the distance from Samaria to Jerusalem to tell the apostles, hey, Samaria has been baptized in Jesus' name? Samaria has believed. They believe the preaching of Philip, and they've all been baptized. And so I just kind of took a conservative figure that it might have taken 3 to 6 days for them to travel down to Jerusalem to give them word. And then however much time it took them to get their things together and go back up to Samaria to preach to them, to pray for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. So we can understand tonight by Scripture that believing and being baptized, even in the name of Jesus Christ, is not enough. We've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about here tonight.
Yes.
You've got to have the Holy Ghost. When we repent of our sins, that's death. When we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that is burial. And when we receive the Holy Ghost, that is the resurrection power.
Yes.
Amen. That we've got to have if we're going to make it in the resurrection.
Yeah.
Somebody said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And so they went to Samaria and they prayed for them that they would receive the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says they received the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Amen. And how did they know they received the Holy Ghost? Simon, that the scripture talks about here in, I believe it's verse 13, Simon himself believed also. He was a sorcerer, and he wanted... when the apostles prayed for people and they received the Holy Ghost, when Simon saw that by the laying on of the hands of the apostles they received the Holy Ghost, he wanted that power. Amen. But what did he see? He saw what Joel saw. Amen. What you see and what you hear. Praise God. And that is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. All of Samaria received the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. And I know this is very simple. This is foundational teaching here tonight. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of spirits, a lot of voices. And as Pastor said, they're not without signification. Amen. There are a lot of voices that say God knows our heart, and that's what's going to get us to heaven. All you got to do is believe, and you're going to go to heaven. But folks, it doesn't matter how many we have in church or how many we don't have. The truth is still the truth. Praise God. And we've got to preach the truth. And we've got to share the word of God. Because it's not an onerous thing, but it is a wonderful thing to be filled with the Holy Ghost. With evidence of speaking in other tongues. Praise God. And I don't have to tell you that. I'm sure you've already experienced that. But if you haven't experienced it, you've got something great awaiting you. Well, praise God.
Amen.
All right, so Acts chapter 10. Here's the story of Cornelius. Acts 10, verse 1 through 6. Did I not give you that scripture? All right, my fault.
There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. A devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius.
All right, let's just stop there for just a moment. Keep your finger right there, because we'll read the rest of it. Actually, go ahead and read the rest of it.
And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do.
He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Now remember that little phrase right there, because we're going to look at that here in just a moment. But this man Cornelius, he was a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. That wasn't a musical group, but what it was a police outfit. And he was a policeman, and he had a short sword, and like our policemen today have pistols. And he feared God. Everybody said he feared God.
Feared God.
Everybody said he was devout. And he feared God with all of his house. And he gave much. Everybody said he gave much.
Gave much.
and he prayed to God always.
Yeah, yeah.
But he didn't have the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, right.
And he wasn't saved.
Right.
He wasn't ready to go to heaven because he had not been born again yet. So it is not a fact, as some people would say, that all it matters is that you live a good life and you're a good person and you help other people and all that, that you're going to go to heaven. But you've got to be born again, the scripture says.
Yeah.
And so Cornelius and his household received the word of God. Peter came there. I'm not going to go through the whole story. Peter got there, began to preach, and as he preached, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed, the word circumcision there speaks of the Jews that came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They said they received the Holy Ghost just like we did at the first. And if you go to chapter 11, and I don't have the scripture down, but Peter is recounting his experience there to the other apostles that did not go to his house. And he said that the angel came to him and said, "Call for Simon Peter, he will tell you how to be saved." That's what the angel said. You've got to be saved. Go to the preacher and he'll tell you how to get saved. And when he came to the house, he preached to them. They received the Holy Ghost. And Acts 10 and verse 44 through 48, did I give you that one? All right.
While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days.
Well, praise God. We ought to just shout about this message tonight. It's awesome. Praise God. I remember teaching a Bible study, and if your heart is right with God, you'll receive what we're talking about here tonight. And I was teaching a Bible study over in Towanda, right in the downtown area there. And it started out with this young lady and then her brother and his wife and the kids. And we probably had 10 people in the front living room, and we're teaching about the Holy Ghost. And Jackie was the mother. She was kind of the ringleader of the family. And we're talking about it. And all of a sudden, there was like a revelation that came into the room. And when you teach the Word of God, revelation does that sometimes. And it did that in that room. And Jackie looked at me and she said, "Greg," she said, if I need the Holy Ghost, I want everything that God has for me." I said, "Well, Jackie, God will fill you with the Holy Ghost."
Yeah.
She said, "Well, I want it right now."
All right.
That's what she said. "I want it right now." I said, "Well, you come over here and sit between me and my wife. We're going to pray, and God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost right now."
Amen.
Well, praise God.
Amen.
"I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh." We started praying. It wasn't but just a minute, and she was speaking in tongues. She laid back in the couch, and all the kids freaked out. They didn't know what to do, so they went outside and lit up cigarettes. Amen. Well, anything can happen in a Bible study, praise God. And she came to the church and got baptized, but unfortunately she didn't stick with the truth. Amen. But God is ready to fill us with the Holy Ghost. You can get the Holy Ghost tonight in this service. You can, because God is pouring out the Holy Ghost in these last days. And we are in the last days. And I believe that we are in the last of the last days.
All right.
Praise God. All right, Acts chapter 19. This is a good scripture. I love this story. Acts 19, verse 1 through 6.
And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John barely baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people, that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied.
Well, praise God. And so here's these believers. All they knew was John the Baptist's message of repentance. But John told them before he baptized them that they had to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Don't we hear a lot about that today? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That's actually a scripture, but it doesn't line up with all the other voices of the scripture. These people, these believers, had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and they were baptized. That's good enough for membership in many, many churches in our day today. But it's not good enough to be born again. And so they were believers. They had been baptized. When Paul began to preach to them, when they heard it, they were baptized, or if you please, they were rebaptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just getting wet isn't going to cut it. Amen. You've got to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ if you want to be born again. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Amen. God filled them with the Holy Ghost, and immediately they were caught up into the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Of prophesying. And the question that he had, that he asked, is very important, for it says a lot. Since you believed, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Amen. That's a very, very important question. Amen. And so when we receive the Holy Ghost, we will speak with other tongues.
Sure.
Amen. Romans 8, verse 11.
But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you.
Praise God. That's what we're all looking for.
Yes.
Amen. Our mortal bodies will be changed. Amen.
Yeah.
But the only way it's going to happen is if we have the Holy Ghost.
There you go.
It's the only way.
Right.
It's not going to happen any other way. Romans 8 and verse 9.
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
Oh my, they just made the point, didn't they?
Yeah.
If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't belong to Christ. You can't be spiritual.
Yeah.
Amen. You can't receive the things of God. Yes, there is the grace of God, and the grace of God, the Bible says that the grace of God is sometimes there to lead us to repentance. The goodness of God leads us to repentance.
Yeah.
And so just because God is good to us doesn't mean that we're saved. Amen. We've got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit in order to be saved. That's what the Word of God tells us. Amen. And so when the Holy Ghost comes and he fills someone, there's great benefits that come along with it. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Do I have those? All right. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Everybody said truth. It is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Amen. How many tonight feels like the Lord is coming soon?
Yes.
We feel it in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Amen. We feel it in the air, right, almost. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you shall receive power. Everybody said power.
Power.
You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. And so we receive power, and it's not power to go around like some superhero and doing great things, but it's power to be a witness. Power to be a witness. And can I give you just a little bit of a hint here what that means tonight? Amen. When you're talking to someone, just conversing with someone, and all of a sudden you feel the Holy Ghost when you're talking to them. Have you ever experienced that? You're talking to them about something, and all of a sudden you feel that Spirit. My pastor always taught me that is the river of living water that comes up out of you. And it's flowing out of you to that individual. And be sensitive to that, because God's trying to reach that person that you're talking to. Praise God.
Amen.
Just a little tidbit there. And so we have that power. Romans 5 and verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, but because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so we have love. Amen. Well, praise God. Some today say that if you preach about love, you're loose. Amen. But we're not loose tonight. Well, praise God. We should love one another. Well, praise God. Be in unity with one another. And help one another and strengthen one another. And pray for edification of others, that the preaching of the word will build us up and strengthen us and help us. Amen. All right, so Romans 14 and verse 17. I'm going to finish here in just a minute. I'm sure I'm boring all of you by now. Romans 14 and verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness. Everybody said righteousness.
Righteousness.
Peace.
Joy.
Where does it come from?
The Holy Ghost.
In the Holy Ghost. Yeah. And so we have righteousness. We can't do it on our own, but He is our righteousness. Peace. We are never going to have peace until we're born again.
Amen.
Joy in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, praise God. The spirit of our age today is a spirit of anger.
Yeah.
Right. It is a spirit of division, and it will try to steal your joy. Try to steal your peace, but we can have it in the Holy Ghost. Steal away in your closet and be filled with the Holy Ghost over and over and over again.
Amen.
Praise God. Romans 8 and verse 11, but if the spirit that of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, well, praise God. That's a powerful spirit. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. And so if we have the Holy Ghost, we have the seed of immortality, the seed of eternal life within us. Praise God. Is that exciting to anybody here tonight?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 through 11. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, to another faith, to another gifts of healing, to another working of miracles, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues. That means different kinds of tongues. That's not the tongue that you receive when you get the Holy Ghost. It's a different tongue. To another, interpretation of tongues, but it is the Spirit of God that brings it to us. Somebody said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Colossians. Did I give you Colossians?
Yes, sir.
All right. Everybody said, God bless Micah.
God bless Micah.
Amen. Colossians 1, 25, 26, and 27.
Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations.
The mystery. Everybody said the mystery.
The mystery.
They did not know about this in the Old Testament.
Uh-huh.
It was hidden. It was a mystery.
Amen.
Go ahead.
But now is made manifest to his saints.
Well, praise God.
Amen.
It's manifested to us.
To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles.
The riches of the glory of this mystery. The riches of this glory.
Amen.
We are glorified by the Spirit of God that has been put into us.
Yes.
Read.
Amen. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Well, praise God.
Amen.
Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. Amen. It's been hid from generations, been hid from ages, but now it's manifested to his saints. Are there any saints here tonight?
Yes.
Amen. We take this message for granted, but we are of all people blessed. So very, very blessed just to understand the scriptures and to have a revelation of the Holy Ghost inside of us.
Amen.
Brother Keith, you've got the Holy Ghost inside of you.
Amen.
Doesn't matter what's going on with the body. Doesn't matter what's going on in this world. Doesn't matter what's happening in your family. It doesn't matter. None of those things matter. But we have the riches of his glory. We have been revealed. Christ in you. Praise God. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. Psalm 16 verse 11. Let's stand tonight. Psalm 16 verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life in thy presence. That's the Holy Ghost. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Pleasures forevermore. I don't know what heaven's going to be like, but I want to go there. I don't know what Jesus is going to look like when I get there, but I want to see him face to face. I see now as through a glass darkly, and I may not understand everything, but the Bible says then I'm going to see face to face. And I'm going to know even as I am known. God knows everything about you, but we don't always know that God knows everything about us. Because we pray and we say, God, don't you know where I'm at? And I can just imagine the Lord saying, I've always been here. I've always been here. Praise God. And we're going to know even as we are known. Amen. Did you know God loves you? Praise God. God loves you. God loves your life. Amen. He wants you to have a full life. Well, praise God. Sometimes circumstances steal that away from us. But I want you to know we can have a great life in Jesus Christ. A great life in Jesus Christ.